Is it working? Okay, great.
Okay,
well, we'll get our meeting underway here. I'd like to welcome everybody to the February 26th, 2020 regular meeting of the Port of Kingston Commission. Comments from those in attendance will be allowed upon recognition of the chair. Please identify yourself by stating your name. If you would like to be added to the agenda for a future meeting, please contact the port office at least 1 week prior to the regularly scheduled meeting. Please submit your documents and or presentations at the time of your request. This is a preliminary agenda and is subject to change, and I would like to start by calling the meeting to order. And let us stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. And I brought the flag in.
School.
All right. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, so we have the agenda here before us. And has everyone had a chance to look at that?
Make a motion to approve the agenda.
Excellent.
Second.
Very good. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Great. We have item number four now. We're at the public comment. We have no public before us. Could possibly change before the end of the meeting, so we'll give people the opportunity toward the end. All right. Item five, we have the consent agenda. These matters are routine and will be enacted by one motion of the commission with no separate discussion. If discussion is desired, that item may be removed from the consent agenda by a commissioner. So in the consent agenda, we have two items, regular meeting minutes and January, February warrants. So I would entertain a motion to accept that.
So moved.
Second.
Excellent. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Great. Thank you. Okay. Number six, action items. And we have an item to approve the 2020 agreement for the Kingston Public Market.
That's actually, yeah.
Is that part of the?
We took that off of the agenda for this month, so I apologize.
Oh, that's okay.
So on the one, I think, that's not, I was supposed to put that on March, so I apologize.
Oh,
that one should be taken off.
Oh, did I? Do I have the, we'll just make a little quick correction.
I tried to do it while I was
at
town.
So is that pushed into?
March.
Sorry
about that, guys.
So should I make, redo my motion? To approve the 2020 Kingston Public Market.
Yep.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Okay, very good. We've got a motion. We have a second. Oh, yeah, sorry. Did I miss that? I'm sorry.
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, very good. Aye. Thank you so much.
It wasn't. It wasn't. I did it when I was out of town, so.
Good job.
I just printed the old one.
Yeah, that's okay. It's all good. Okay, so I think maybe we'll kind of have a renumbering here then, won't we? So item six is the financial report. So we have our CPA here.
Thank you. For those of you who don't know me or remember, my name is Larry Hurley.
Yeah, Larry.
CPA for the Harsin CPA Group. We've been working for Port of Kingston for a number of years. Dennis Traeger, who has been coming for many years, retired. He's very happy to be in the retirement mode. He still comes into the office and stays in contact from time to time, so we're sure happy to have him. Does everyone have a financial statement for December? So it should say Port Kingston accounts compilation and financial statements December 31st, 2019 on the first page. So what I would like to do, this is my first time making a presentation of the financial statements. Since we're looking at the year-end financial statement, what I would like to do is just go over the financial highlights. I don't think it makes sense for me to go over. I've never encountered an audience that has really enjoyed a line-by-line discussion on the financial statement.
Yeah.
So I'm going to avoid that. But there are some important things in here that I think you should be aware of, and I do want to point that out. So the first page will be the table of contents, and it's going to indicate that we are issuing a report. It's called the compilation report. That's on page one. Statements and supplemental information. Now, these financial statements have been created over time. I think they've become standardized and have been used here by the board. As I understand it, I believe you're reworking the QuickBooks and the general ledger, making some changes. Ideally, it would be nice to get those in, you know, to match up with the bar's accounts, so that when the auditors come in, everything is seamless for them. One of the improvements that have been made in 2019, we went from the cash basis financial statements to an accrual basis financial statements, which means now that your financial statements are prepared in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. So what that means, an informed reader of a financial statement, someone who's used to looking at financial statements will be familiar with the presentation and what's included in the financial statement. Financial statements that's on the cash basis, one of the benefits of that type of financial statement is they're very easy to prepare, but you only get limited information. You're not getting a proper cutoff necessarily of all of your revenues and expenses. In an accrual financial statement, you're getting a truer picture of what the financial results and results of operations are. So I'm glad to see that you moved in that direction. I think the recommendation was actually made by an auditor years ago to go to the cash method, but because of the size of the organization, the accrual basis financial statements definitely makes more sense, more meaningful. Okay, so the accounts compilation report. Accounts compilation is essentially we receive the financial information from our clients and then we put it in the form of a financial statement in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. It's not a full disclosure of financial statements. If it was, there would be some additional information included in the financial statement. So we do put a paragraph in there indicating that, you know, a user should be aware of that this is not a full disclosure, but there is still meaningful information in it. Okay, so if you turn to page two, it's your balance sheet. And when I said accrual financial statement, what's new on your financial statement is, if you look at on page two at the top, you'll see that you have your cash. I think everybody understands what cash is and your investments. Those are liquid assets available for operations and reserves. But now we've added accounts receivable, we've added inventory, prepaid insurance, and your capital assets are now on your balance sheet as well. So that has been missing in years past. On page three, you'll see that we've now added your accounts payable and your accrued expenses, and your long-term liabilities are listed in your equity. Your equity position as of December 31st, 2019 is just under $8 million. So good financial position as of December 31st. One thing I do want to mention is we've got all of the accruals on there, so now we have the receivables, we have the payables. I think the last accrual was the accrued absences and the vacation payable. We finally got that scheduled. So if you look on page three, under accrued absences, the 51,752, that includes the vacation and sick leave. Yes, thank you.
Through December 31st. Through December 31st.
Yeah, gotcha. Right.
So another thing that I would like to point out is I'm looking at the balance sheet in your cash and investment position. At the end of December 31st, 2018, you had close to 832,000 of total cash and investments. At the end of 2019, you actually increased that to 1,738,000. So that's a $906,000 increase in your cushion. Mm-hmm. And I, and you know, that means that you're being fiscally responsible, and so I would commend you on making that increase. And I have also looked at the budget as well, and I understand that, you know, the budget has been prepared conservatively, but if everything comes through with the budget, I'm projecting that next year you'll probably add close to another $500,000 to that reserve if you're on budget. So I think things are looking good financially for the port. All right, so let's turn to page 5, which is the statement of operations, and it's the 12-month annual financial statement. So operating revenues, if you look at the top, you actually increased or exceeded your budget by close to $327,000. Mm-hmm. And you actually, and then on the operating expenses, you did, you were over budget about $261,000. But overall, $65,000 exceeding the budget in all of 2019. Now, if you look one line below, we're adding depreciation. Now that you have fixed assets, we have to record depreciation. It's a non-cash expense, so it doesn't affect the cash balance. It's basically a reserve charge for the repair and replacement of all the assets that you have, you know, under your that you're required to maintain for the port. And there is a schedule that we do maintain for all of the fixed assets. It's part of the capital projects. I would call that, let's see. So the capital plan improvement, so the items that are listed on your in the budget capital plan. So we're depreciating those assets, and so that so it shows up as a charge against your revenues on an annual basis. Let's see, what else is important with respect to the statement of operations? You know, you actually are $107,000 above or exceeding what your budget was. So after the charge for depreciation, you know, there is a loss, but again, the depreciation expense is a non-cash charge. And looking at the 2020 budget, you're budgeting to actually exceed, have your revenues exceed not only your operating expenses but also your depreciation. So I think that's being fiscally responsible as well. So I would say overall, in my judgment, that the Port of Kingston has done a good job in 2019 in being able to increase their cash reserves from where they were at the end of 2018, and they're headed in the right direction of being fiscally responsible. So as a CPA, that's my opinion. As a resident of Kingston, I also find that to be reassuring as well.
Excellent.
Any questions?
May I?
Yes.
this is the end of the year. So when you do this, you call it a compilation. Is that similar to a review as opposed to an audit, or do we do this every quarter now? I'm sorry,
Yep, so this so there's different levels of service the CPA is going to offer when they issue a financial statement: an audit, a review, and a compilation. Right. So the audit's gonna be the most intrusive. We're gonna examine, we're gonna look at the internal controls, we're gonna examine source documents, and so it's gonna, we're gonna scrutinize the records more closely. So it's the highest level of service. And then a review is a mid-level service. We'll look at the records, and it's the results of our procedures are generally based on inquiry and local procedures, so it's less intrusive than an audit, if you will. And a compilation, we become familiar with the client, we understand their records, and what we do is we prepare the financial statements, put them in the form of generally accepted accounting principles, but we're not taking a look at a sample of their cash receipts or looking at their cash dispersal and the invoices. That's what the state auditor's office does. So the state auditor comes in and does the audit of the financial statements, not us. We're here to essentially make sure that on a monthly basis the financial records are in good order, and we issue a compilation report and this financial statement.
On a monthly basis?
Correct.
So, forgive me for asking, but I'm just from the public. Wendy could probably do a pretty good compilation by herself, and so I'm going to ask, why doesn't she do it, and why don't you guys do a review so that we really kind of sew the whole thing together with more expertise? And Wendy's perfectly capable of doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Ron. I appreciate that. And
yeah, and we actually had that discussion, mm-hmm. and Wendy was in fact going to do that, and then we were going to be there for any questions and answers to make sure that if Wendy had any questions on any corrections or postings that needed to be made, you know, we were basically going to be asking for it.
So, January 1, moving forward, all these reports will be prepared in-house. And as Larry said, they'll be asking, you know, all they're there for questions and those type of things. And then they'll probably, I don't know if they'll do a quarterly review or a mid-year review.
Yeah.
But we haven't worked that out yet.
I would say, you know, in my opinion, if you have a strong controller, they should be able to manage the finances of the organization and make sure that all the accounts are balanced properly. Our role would be more of a supporting role. I don't even know that it would be necessary for us to do a review and have the board spend the money.
I wouldn't
say never. You know, since we'll be available to...
Would that help with the state audit if we had a review from you prior to the outcome? What do they do, every 2 years?
I believe so. So if you have, what I've found, my experience with companies that have more sophisticated records, if you have a good solid controller, they're generally able to make sure that the financial information records are kept in good shape. And then it's then up to the controller to present that information to the board or to the commissioners, and for the board, you know, to make sure that they're overseeing the financial information. We are available to assist, and we could do a review if that was warranted or they wanted us to, or a compilation, if so desired. But so, I think really it's more better financially for the organization if you are able to do it internally.
So may I ask one more question? I'll make it a short question.
It's good. That's fine, Ron.
when we look at depreciation, mm-hmm. what would your recommendation be based on the depreciation schedules, whether the port ought to have a separate line for approvals for what it's actually going to cost us as opposed to what's on the books.
So versus what it's going to cost to replace versus
right.
the original cost.
What would your recommendation be for a port like this?
Well, I think that would be a good project to undertake. I know homeowners associations are required to have a reserve study, so mm-hmm. they take a look at all the common area assets, and they have someone who conducts that study, and they do a projection of what the estimated future cost or repair of that particular asset is going to be. I think it would be worthwhile. So I think there would be some benefit to that.
Do other ports do that?
You know,
some they do, but they don't, because a lot of times people don't like what the future probably holds.
Mm-hmm. You mean,
because replacement costs are accelerating, you know, faster than what. There's usually a lot of reticence about looking at the true replacement cost of assets, but we're actually undertaking exactly that exercise right
yeah,
now.
Right.
Through the capital program.
Right.
We looked at the replacement costs. We did a 5-year projection based upon really just what can we cover currently, but we're doing it for all assets, the whole portfolio of assets, a life cycle analysis based on current assumptions, and then we'll create we'll have some assumption that the commission will look at to say, here's what we believe a potential acceleration of costs are. Like, so in water work, you know, it's going probably at least 4 to 6%. Different people argue different things, but it's been annually increasing 4 to 6%. And that should inform the commission so that when we make recommendations for, when you're looking at your projected financials for the budget, doing a CPI increase of 1.7% is not keeping up with your costs for replacement. So you would say your revenue is going to have to somehow be exceeding that 4% if you want a greater return, for example. But if you just put it at a CPI, a across your rates, across everything, and you only get a 1.7% increase, well, you're not keeping up with your costs. So the gap between revenue and expense keeps getting greater. So that's what we're going to try to avoid. So we've taken a pretty aggressive approach and trying to get to an empirical approach. We're not there yet. We're not done with our program. But we started that with a capital plan. So the capital plan you see is it's what we believe the costs are currently for the actual cost. The depreciation schedule you see here is too conservative because it's at the book value and the asset could be 15 years old. So you have a 15-year-old cost, which is no longer relevant. But it comes out at about $52,000 a month. So I don't really look at the depreciation. I do look at our cash. I want to know what cash on hand. We will have to set some financial policies that say here's what our reserve levels are, here's what they're dedicated to, and then we'll come around with a resolution to solidify that maybe to make sure that there's transparency if the commission were to delve into spend reserves, for example. So there's things we can do to be more robust, I think, than going forward. But we're going to take a pretty aggressive approach, which I think that it leads you to better governance, because if you know that you're going to have to replace a car, I remember spending $15,000 on a car, and I bought my first one at $500. So I still never spent $15,000 on another car. I mean, I ended up spending, I think, almost $30,000 on a brand new car. So the reality is that the replacement costs keep going up, and so we have to make adjustments. And it's politically not popular. I mean, it's hard because you're saying you're increasing rates and fees. We also are in a different situation than many ports. We have virtually no tax revenue, no non-operating revenue. It's $211,000 a year. So that, let's say, compare us to other, ports are generally asset heavy. And so that some assets don't have to be replaced, so we have to really look at the total portfolio. We have to break that all down. So we're just looking, we did the five-year plan, and then we're going to look at the whole life cycle. So the marine is going to be one of the biggest costs in and of itself for replacement. And other assets which are booked may not have to replace certain things like land.
So you don't have to put it in this because it's all budget oriented.
It's budget oriented, and then the capital plan will be super transparent to people. Okay. So for example, we have that project which we have for the capital plan. For every component of that, we have a worksheet that describes that asset and the project that was associated with it. And then we're building out empirically the scope of work, estimated costs, and a schedule.
We want to know what it's going to cost to replace this. We want to know.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you do. I mean, it's in the past, you guys are great, but in the past, the board had no clue. And it's refreshing to, and I give you a good grade for what you've done. Not that it's my job, you can grade them. And you did.
Yeah. So, my experience with those, when they're doing those reserve studies, they're always based on estimates. Nobody really knows what the actual replacement cost is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's always subjectivity. Right. But I think it's still good to have a roadmap, a plan in place.
Yeah, the other issue that we haven't addressed is the depreciation schedule in and of itself, I think, is somewhat flawed because they booked a lot of assets that I would probably normally have just expensed. It depends on what criteria you use to determine what is a capitalized asset.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're a little too generous, so then there's things that are in there. I'd rather say, well, let's look forward. I don't have a lot of angst. I have angst about cash, cash flow, and then profitability, and then can you fund your future replacement costs? That's it.
Right.
And when is that schedule? So you may have like a balloon payment in 12 years from now, and then there's also got to be revenue sources of funds to fund an investment for economic development. So those are the two. Kind of there's the how do you maintain your existing asset portfolio of assets, and how do you fund future growth opportunities.
But you really don't care what that depreciation schedule is as it is now. I mean, the only place it shows up here, nobody looks at it anyway. And you're way beyond that by looking ahead. So it really is academic. It,
this is a much higher standard that we're holding ourselves to. A much more rigorous and more difficult. Not most ports, they look out, but what happens is you don't, what happens doesn't become transparent to a lot of people. They don't see the total, they never see the total asset portfolio.
Yeah.
We'll get a report, the commission will have a report ultimately, and they'll know, they'll have a complete picture of every asset. And a lot of times what they do is these things fall off and they just say, everything above the line that could be funded, that's what they see in the budget, and that's what's put forward to them for approval.
So when I look at the 2020 budget, I see that you're going to generate positive cash flow contributions in your capital budget. You're expecting to invest approximately $250,000.
When you do a regular company, you include sources and uses?
So,
but not here.
So the big, right, because we're omitting substantially all disclosures that are normally included in an audited financial statement. What you're referring to would be the statement of cash flows.
Yeah.
And what that does is it breaks down your cash into three areas: cash from operations, your investing activities, which would be your capital asset purchases, and then financing activities, which is essentially your debt service. You take those three items, and then that should be, you'll either have an increase or net decrease in your cash.
Do other boards do that? We've never done that.
Well, the audited financial statement should have a statement of cash flows in it, because that's going to be a full disclosure financial statement.
When they're audited,
when they're audited by the state.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really do like the statement of cash flows. I think, Greg, you and I talked about that.
Yeah.
I think,
and when he's taken the first stab at it. But, you know, it's just, it's a draft.
They're actually pretty easy to put together once you know how, where the numbers come from.
And even with cash flow statements, a lot of times it's like they grab a period, right, a very finite. And I like to really, just like with the capital plan, the asset portfolio plan, I really like to see it pushed way out, because it may mean, like, you know, if you say, well, if I start saving, if we save, you know, an extra $150,000 a year, we will be, we should have virtually no money to make up. It's a pay-as-you-go model, as what we're hoping to achieve at some point. That's kind of the goal for me. I think that's very, it's really easy to manage and administer too. The commission can be, it's like, it will allow them to be able to say, oh, we can look out, now we have to assess other sources of funding and debt capacity and what we want to do with that for economic development. But that way, because they know that operationally that we've got this set of assets done and handled. So that's what we're trying to do.
Excellent, thank you.
That's my presentation.
Thank you very much.
I hope that was adequate.
Mary, do you have anything to add? Do you have a...
I had a couple of very specific questions about items in the report.
Sure.
On page 5 in the... for the year-ended statement of operations, there's three items: office credit card fees, office supplies, and operating supplies, that each of which was pretty significantly larger than anticipated, and I was wondering what that was.
So we inquired into that, and under the office supplies, the computers, office supplies, there were some computers that were purchased in 2019, which made up the bulk of that, and then also operating supplies, I believe, if Wendy made some purchases of some items that were needed in the office.
The operating supplies also happen is kind of a catch-all down for the marina office too. Mm-hmm. So there's some Christmas lights in there, and they bought a new lawnmower. So I kind of use that category as it's not a repair, but we're using it for something.
Yeah.
And then the office credit card fees are the fees that the credit card company charges us every month to we get charged a fee by the credit card company for processing credit cards.
Is it like 3.5 or something like
that? Yeah, we have three different processors, and it amounts to between $4,000 and $8,000 a month.
Oh, the machines
and
things.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, I see.
I'm sorry,
right.
I'm not giving that to you very well, and I could tell by the look on your face.
Yeah.
Yeah, they charge us a fee for us. Yeah. Swiping everyone's credit card.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So, of course, in the summertime, it's a lot more money.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And we have three separate processors. So,
And Mary, I think one other item I wanted to mention also on the salaries. If you look at the salaries, there was an increase over last year. The primary reason for that is because we had a catch-up adjustment in December for the crew vacation and sick leave. So
right.
That was about $52,000. So that hasn't been accrued in the past, but we wanted to make sure that we got it on your balance sheet, and so it was charged.
Excellent.
I think with the loss of Steve, crossovers of those.
We replaced almost the whole server a chunk of the server network. We added redundancy to the server network because we were at risk, right? And we were able to get hacked, you know, so you have to keep backing it up. And then we also, like, we replaced, so a lot of computers downstairs were basically, they're so slow.
And old, we couldn't update them any longer.
Oh, right, yeah. And there was a problem, as I understand, too, between the life of Windows 7, and Windows 10. Where those operating systems were going by the wayside, and now it's 365, so then everybody's kind of expectation joining up on that. So
they have two computer screens, so they're getting their work done and being able to work and multitask, because you have a customer walking up while you're working on something else and trying to, you know. So we replaced, you know, so basically all the computers, everything is updated for the whole, throughout the whole, I don't think there's anything that we're planning that we will update.
Unless something breaks or.
And then it's a matter of controlled obsolescence. How long will that last? Mm-hmm. But it should last for at least a few years. I hope to 5. You know, if we get 5 years, that would be pretty good.
Yeah.
But you know, if the staff can't do the job, and what we're paying them, and they're really slow, and then customers are getting frustrated too, because it could last.
Yeah.
So we just said, look, we just have to upgrade it.
Yeah.
They just stop working.
Yeah, good.
So my other question had to do with the user charges, which is shown on page 7. The reservation fees is, and then I look and I see deposits forfeited, and they kind of balance each other out. So I'm just wondering what is changed operationally to make these two things like that.
Page 7.
Reservation fees, instead of being $535, are 10 times that,
$5,537.
Yeah.
Is it all right if I answer? Yeah. Reservation fees, what falls into that category is the little bit of a fee that is collected from DocWA when someone uses that app.
The machine that's on the on the back wall.
I know what you're talking about, but I don't think they're hooked together.
Yeah.
It's an app on their phone. It's kind of like the Golf Now thing. You know, you put the app on, and then you say, I'm going here, and then you can make a reservation through the DocWA thing that we use.
Yeah. Yeah.
So some of those fees go into there, and then if people make a reservation, I believe we take a deposit kind of a thing for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's all falling into there. So that's good because people are coming, right? And then the deposits forfeited I'm not really the reverse, but they gave a deposit for something and then they never showed, so we kept it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that also returning the deposits of the people that take their boats out of the marina?
No, that would go under security deposit on the balance sheet.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So you wouldn't see that here.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that might fall in this reservation fee, I'm thinking that maybe at the beginning of the year there might be a little bit of fees for the wait list.
Oh, the wait list. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's mostly under service fee charge revenue at the bottom of the page. Because you asked me about that specifically, Laura.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was.
It's a lot of money.
From 7,000 to 36,000.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, sure enough. Yeah, okay.
Great, thank you.
And Laura, did you have anything? Or?
No, I was, Wendy pretty well answered my questions from last month and realizing that the budget numbers that were for last year weren't as accurate, basically. There's no way to predict exactly what you're going to be doing so on some of these numbers, so it makes it a little bit difficult sometimes to actually get real close.
I think one thing that is also like good for the commission, for you guys to realize is, in order to get like the, basically your total income, you have to add your total marinas charges on page 7, total unit user charges, with your total property rentals, with retail sales, gasoline, diesel sales, and then your non-operating revenue, like $248,000 at the bottom. Mm-hmm. And you get basically $3.53 million. So that's the number. So when we run a report in QuickBooks, it will kick out that number. And so we were reconciling, making sure that they should be very exact, if not very, very close to each other. They're not exact, but they're really super, very close. But I think that's a number I look at. And then you're looking at, sometimes, we'll start looking at, where there's variable revenue, where we can increase variable revenue to increase our net operating income off the same footprint without spending, hopefully, too much more money. And that's really some of the places where we hope to increase our revenue would be the guest dock and parking. And then with the rate adjustments, which is really the bread and butter to some extent, that shall contribute to our net operating income as well.
And I just wanted to point out one other thing. Next month, I hope to have for you our new format with January, February, and what you'll have is a line that was actually done, a budgeted line for the month for January, a line of actual, a budgeted, so that we, and then the end of the same.
Oh, right.
For a total, yeah. So that you can see month by month how it's looking compared to what we budgeted, how it's looking to the end of the year.
Yeah.
I didn't provide that tonight because Larry was coming, and I didn't want your eyes to roll to the back of your head with all the financial stuff. So that you'll see that.
That's great.
Next month. Yeah.
Thank you.
Or not, if not in advance.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much. Any other questions on?
You'll get just some basic reports. You'll also just say, okay, and you get a graph, you see a trend line. Because sometimes the numbers, you just get a jumble of numbers, right? So unless you're really looking at it all the time, how do you really, unless you're really good at numbers, and we see it all the time, so we're kind of like tracking some of these things. But that way you'll go, oh, I see. Sometimes I look at trend line, I look at budget versus actual, see how that's doing. And then, of course, budgets, how good are you budgeting? How effective is your budgeting process? So that's that. You can get too much around the ask about variances for budget, but you do want to obviously look at how you're performing across the board. And then it is good to sometimes get an answer, oh, here's what variances are. So when you see some variances that are, you'd already be prompt. Because a lot of times you'll have a baseline. You'll say, oh, hey, instead of 5,000, it's 10,000. But if it's $5 instead of $10, we're not going to care.
Yeah.
So then there's certain thresholds that you say, this is substantive. Mm-hmm. You really need to, it's an automatic prompt for staff. Like, I'm required to actually report to you.
I think when these things represent changes in operations that affect the public,
yes,
I want to understand them.
Good point.
Right.
Right. That's important. And that may be a $5.
Yeah.
Right.
Depends on what particular public we're asking today. So thank you. Thank you.
Excellent. Okay, we will move along. We have, actually, I think we're getting down to the meeting here. We have item 7. And that's a public comment component of our meeting. And citizens may address the commission regarding any items related to port business, including items on the agenda. And I see we actually have a member of the public with us. Would he have any comments? Or?
Well, it doesn't necessarily have directly to do with the port. It has more to do with Kingston. And then the question of how the port relates to that. I had the good fortune, I guess, of spending 2 weeks at the Harrison Resort Hotel down in Bremerton and had a lot of time to think about things I don't really want to think about.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of looked back at what Kingston is and how it's changed over the decades and where it was in 2000 and where it is now. And it's not a good picture to me. You know, we've lost a building every other year. You go through this, you can walk downtown, you can see some buildings that are totally dilapidated. And it got me thinking that all of the things that we're doing, we don't have a vision of where we're going. I looked up the vision statements for the county. I can read them to you. I tried to find the vision statement for the port. You call it a mission or a purpose. And if you read those, they're not working. They're vague and they're not working. This town needs a vision. And I came up with a vision, my vision, but I don't want to bore you with that. But I learned in my thinking, if you know, in a hospital, that the incorporation, the thought of incorporating Kingston, is a major way to start looking at what a vision could be. If you believe in a vision, if you believe in incorporation, and you believe in all of the advantages an incorporated little city has, then we ought to be able to pay attention to all of the things that we're doing now, because everything that we're doing, the complete streets, the realignment, the... You're nodding your head. Have you guys already talked about this?
No. We have talked about this quite a little bit, actually, in our work studies.
I don't come to those.
You should do.
But I looked at what it takes to incorporate and what the advantages are. And I used a little town called LeConnor as an example. Mm-hmm. You've already done this, Steve?
I'm very familiar with LeConnor.
Okay, they're half our size.
Yep.
Okay, they're under 1,000, and that was based on their 2017. Mm-hmm. We were at 2,200 in 2010. They're half our size. They're incorporated, and they have a budget. It's going to blow your mind. $4.3 million. You knew that?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. How did they do it? Well, you start looking at how they can do it. We could do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And when you start looking at the UVC that we have and the Main Street and First Avenue and all that kind of stuff, you can begin to put together what a picture would look like for Kingston to incorporate. It's going to take a while to do it. It has to do with tourism and it has to do with retail and everything else. And I would like to see a more aggressive approach from the county. And probably more importantly, from the port, because you three are elected. We only have one person, supposedly, that's elected that has his eye on Kingston from the county, to really develop a vision, because nobody else is doing that. And I know how difficult it is. After the last 10 years, we've been struggling in different little ad hoc committees to come up with a vision, and we flunk every time. But there is a way to get a vision, and I'd like to see the port take the lead on that, whether you do something like Greg was talking, I don't know, last month or so, about maybe an advisory group where you take a bunch of people and you put them in a room and say you come up with a vision under the auspices and umbrella of the you four people and try to struggle to put in some clarity to what the county has tried to do and what you guys have done in your mission and in your statement, because I think we need it. And I'm afraid we need it now, because when I walk downtown and I look at the condition and talk, and I hate to be negative, I love Kingston, we've done a lot of great things, but when it comes to downtown, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And I think now is the time we have to do it. Mm-hmm. Last year, we talked about, you guys had a lot of problems, you've solved those, You now have the courage. I remember the courage. We need some bold things to spark the downtown area to entice other people to start building and do it under a plan to get Kingston back on track.
Mm-hmm.
You've already talked about that. That's great. Why don't you lecture me? I tell you.
That wouldn't be necessary.
So what are we going to do?
Well, one thing we talked about is a strategic plan effort that the port is going to be taking a look at. And as any strategic plan that's developed, you invite stakeholders, you have beginning meetings and kickoffs, and you actually often have an advisory group of some sort that assists you in the components of a strategic plan. With the port, it's typically more specific to port properties, but it can also be part of the economic development wing of port operations and the nexus for why ports exist is to help with economic development. So we've had some initial discussions in our weekly meetings that we have, and I think that we'll be looking at getting that underway here probably fairly soon. So
the port's job is economic development. Uh-huh. It goes beyond your properties. It's the whole district.
It's our district,
and
correct.
When you talk about a group like the stakeholders, you're not talking about the little group that calls themselves the stakeholders. We have a problem. We've got a bunch of old people. A lot of them are part of the stakeholders. And a lot of them are like me, and we're getting tired of carrying the ball, and we've got a lot of young people moving over here. Our demographics are going to change when we mm-hmm. do the census. We need to start recruiting some of those people, the new ones, whether they're from the HOAs or whatever, and we need to bring them in. And having an advisory committee with charge of coming up with a vision mm-hmm. on behalf of the community, more so than what the county is doing, it's a way to bring the young people in who have, unfortunately, no clue as to what Kingston was and where Kingston's going. You can see how many are filling these seats. We need to get those people in.
Yeah.
A good company, by the way, will recruit and make sure that they're bringing along the younger generation, and I would hope that Port takes that attitude.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate you showing up for lunch with Greg.
Hey, it was a good lunch.
We're going to keep doing that.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was kind of scheduled. And tell me about that. You just invite people off the streets and they come? I know something.
We got the idea at the WPPA conference. It was Camas Washugal.
Port of Camas Washugal's been doing
that. And I was just looking at my notes from that.
Years.
And he said in the first year he only had 8 people that showed up, period.
In the whole year.
To
really?
His lunch with, what's his name?
Dave,
yeah. But now he has 50. He has people lining up to have lunch with him.
He's actually the longest-serving executive director of any port in the state of Washington.
And he still looks young. That's the weird part.
So how do you get it out to the public that you're having that lunch? When is it anyway?
We just tried it out. So we just, in fact, I'm going to give you one of these. This is a schedule of just about everything that we have on our schedule to supply. That Tara Dolph and I just got done with.
26.
Sorry, I have an extra one.
Here's the next one. Lunch with Greg, March 26th.
So how do you tell people about
it? So what we did was, so there's going to be a few different ways that I think what we did was, we have to do a better job too, though I have to do a better job. So we put on our website. We're putting it on, the Chamber's putting on their website, put on Facebook. And then I think, I thought about just, maybe I'll take my picture off of it because I don't know if I want to be like.
You'll like it.
But
we had different glasses
where it says the port and get the word out, whether it be through the Rotary and all the different organizations. So we've been developing a list, kind of a distribution list for different things. And one of them was, how do we get, we were talking about communication this year and trying to be a lot more effective. So we talked about that in the work session too, like what can we do to implement a better, the thing is a lot of people want to input information in different ways, so we thought about putting the flyer out, so you have a hard copy, you put it up in some key places where everybody goes. It's kind of amazing, actually. People walk by and read it, we hope. And then, but also just putting it on through social media. And then we're going to try to update our website, as well as create another web, basically more of a landing page, but it'll have plugins for all the different organizations, is what they wanted in Kingston Cares, or to the Kingston Conversation exercise. So. Mm-hmm. The chamber, they're developing a website right now, and then we're going to do another parallel effort for all the different organizations. So hopefully we can push out information through all those organizations. Then the question will be, you know, do we want, you know, it's expensive, but do we want to put postcards out somehow to the voters to talk about putting a plan to get them to try to engage? Mm-hmm. And I think in some cases it's good to go out, you know, you actually go out and you knock on doors on occasion and you get people, then mm-hmm. they'll show up. You have to go and actually want to get a personal invite. But
yeah, one of the other things we've just talked about in our last work session is, having a component in the community news that goes out to each homeowner in the zip code, if you will. And so that community news article that we used to put out here occasionally, and perhaps doing an insert or something like that, and then get people interested in coming to our meetings here, or even work sessions for that matter. So get people involved in the idea of the strategic plan effort. Yeah,
that would be nice. Mm-hmm. I put a list together of like 12 or 13 mm-hmm. HOAs.
Yeah.
And I've attended some of their initial meetings mm-hmm. where they're going through their bylaws and everything. Mm-hmm. I don't know any of them. I don't recognize any of them. I don't see them around here, but they're either at CBU or mm-hmm. Cherry Hill or Maple and all. Yeah. Those are the young kids that are going to inherit
yeah.
whatever the county and whatever the port does. And mm-hmm. how we impress on those or go knock on their doors or send them a special flyer and make them feel special. Mm-hmm. Part to me is extremely important. The Kiwanis and the Rotaries and all that,
yeah.
they're full of people that are already engaged. It's the ones that are moving in that are not engaged.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I don't know, Laura, I mean, you guys are young in the
thank
Kiwanis
you.
And all that. Well, it's all relative now. But you guys are the ones that, you know, do all the things. And I don't see a lot of really young kids in there that are 30 years old with kids in the elementaries and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people that we, whoever we are, have to bring them up. And
that's a good point, Ron.
How we do that, I think, is important.
Yeah.
It's about finding ways to reach out. And whether it be, maybe you could provide that list to us. Maybe we could split up the HOAs and each go to a meeting or something.
Yeah.
It's about reaching out. It's about engaging people.
Yeah.
And remember last year we were going to take the time to kind of buckle down and try to, and we've done that. We know which way we're going now. We know how to get there, or at least how to take the steps to get there, okay? But now we have to start implementing. We have to start reaching out. And that's exactly what we're going to do.
Good. Great. I'm tickled.
I represent one HOA.
You
which
do?
One?
Oh, Whitehorse. Oh, Whitehorse. Okay, okay. Sure. Go. Yeah. Right.
So you can tell us when the meetings are. Can you tell us when their meetings are?
Yeah, absolutely. So we meet quarterly. Unfortunately, we just had our annual meeting in January, so that would have been a great opportunity.
Oh, right, yeah.
But
yeah, I'll get you that information.
Looks like okay. You've got a rep from them already. So
that's
right
awesome.
Here.
Wow.
Also on the board
of the Kitsap Economic Development Alliance, so if you want to get the message out there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're going to put a,
yeah, we're a member of that.
Article
yeah.
together, and we were going to maybe just rotate it between all four of us.
Of that.
Write up the article. It's really funny, though. I have to say, this is just my limited personal experience, but a lot of times, you know, you don't see people unless there's a problem. You'll never see people when everything is going pretty, sounds like it's going okay. So the tough thing is to get people to get passionate, engaged about something that's positive, you know, like, hey, you know, like, we want to, we really want to hear from you. But I think it's totally doable, because one thing I like about this community is that there is already so much, there's just a vibe and an energy of engagement. And that's why I have all those organizations, right? But they, but I do think that you're, like, there's a big chunk of the demographic that is not engaged, and that's who we also need to tap into, and certainly, you know, different, even age group demographics, or, you know, and like through the schools. So I think that now, you know, I mean, I've got a little bit under my belt. Like, I worked, you know, I was working with the superintendent and the, about the schools. They went through their whole strategic plan. So I think that the time is now. And then there's also concurrently, though, we need to be doing stuff. I mean, we're not going to just wait. We talked about, okay, we need to be taking steps to actually implement some things that are like kind of almost obvious that we can start looking forward to moving forward.
See, now these three commissioners have been here quite a while, and they can remember back when people would come to the port, not because we had a problem, but there was an excitement. There was an excitement when we started the fast ferry.
Mm-hmm.
That room down there was packed.
Mm-hmm.
People, when you guys went ahead and said, okay, here's what we're going to do with the tote property and all these, the place was packed. So people will come out. And unfortunately, with the problems that we've had in the past, people have lost a lot of confidence and interest in the port, and I'm glad to see it's coming back. And I want to make one more comment on the community news. To me, that's not the paper that represents mm-hmm. the community.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see our letters in there like you used to. You don't see the public involvement in there. And I would hope that between you and the chamber, you can come up with a little paper. You know, maybe it's only a 3-page paper that comes out once a month that mm-hmm. people don't distribute, and people can read it if they're not on the internet and say, geez, I didn't know they were doing this on Washington Boulevard, and I didn't know you were doing that,
mm-hmm.
to take the place of the community news. Unfortunately, it's just not what it used to be. Mm-hmm. So when I was talking to Maya Kate, I mean, she was kind of on that line too, and I know she's working closely with you, but I'd love to carry around, you know, a packet of that. I used to deliver mail, or you know, and go house to house on some of these and make them aware. I'd love to see this place back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're doing it the right way.
Yeah, thank you.
Because you'll get a ways to recover from previous years.
Mm-hmm. We appreciate your ambassador role, for sure.
Well, you know, I've gone to some of these HOA meetings, too, mm-hmm. and I'll talk, they'll elect a president and all that, and said, I really think you guys ought to get involved. It's, who are you? Well, I'm a nobody. But if I was a commissioner, maybe I have a little hat.
We could get you a hat.
Commission.
That's not a bad idea, actually. I was thinking, actually, an ambassador role would be good, actually.
Anyway, I think that you guys can carry a lot of influence in getting this town back on track. And I don't mean to be negative. It's just now's the time, and I guess maybe I'll come, because I think we need a bold move on part of the port, even if it takes a bond or a levy to put the spark back in. And I was going to talk to John Rose and see if he would work with you guys, but now Rainier's going to buy that property downtown, and I haven't had a chance to talk to John. But I think there's just a lot of things that we can do, and moving the height up to 45 might help Rick Lanning get going on his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And just to see a little bit of momentum and those wheels starting to turn, mm-hmm. and get that little baby up to 60 miles an hour. And we've got a lot of interest.
That's good.
Thanks, Ron.
Well, thank you. You guys are the ones that spend all the time. And here I'm taking it up, so you want to go home.
Okay.
You know, listening to your comments are always inspiring and useful. So,
thank you, Mary.
Okay, well, we'll move on here to commissioner reports. Anyone want to take? take a first whack at that, Laura? Yeah, thank you.
So I really enjoyed the Kids Have Economic Development breakfast that we went to.
I know, unfortunately I wasn't there. We did buy a table, so we had 9 people from our office that were there.
It was great. It was great.
It was really good.
Greg bought a table, but we were invited to sit at John's table, so we basically had two tables there that were, well, the court didn't have two tables. We had one, but we sat with John. But it was really great. A few of the points that I was going to mention about that, that was brought out, that predictions for the future, 740,000 projected job openings in the next 5 years, and that we are one of the top 10 states for job growth. Kitsap is the third most densely populated county in the state. That's impressive. Jefferson Kalalam spend 50% out of county, whereas Kitsap residents spend 90% income in Kitsap County, which is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Over half commute less than 10 miles. And a side note, the second most spoken language in Kitsap is Japanese. Mm-hmm. Know that. And that our shorelines, there's 250 miles of coastline around Kitsap. Predictions are 2% growth every year in population, more commuting, more retail. Real estate outlook was 10.9% home value increase in homes, 6.7% in sales, and 30 days on the market. And so they said slow and steady. That's my update.
Excellent.
Well, what I can contribute is really that the community conversation planning group met recently and is preparing for the third community conversation, which is scheduled for April 4th from 8 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon. And the sponsors this year are the Port of Kingston, the Chamber of Commerce, the KCAC, I believe, agreed to sponsor,
mm-hmm.
Kingston Cares, which is one from the beginning, and then the Village Green Foundation. And so each of the sponsors were busily contacting and making sure that they're willing to put a tiny amount of money, a couple of $100s, but most importantly, some facilitators and scribes and people to actually make the whole thing work. And I think it has been, the first year was, I don't know, 80, 90, a lot of people. The second year was fewer, and I'm anticipating that this year will be maybe back up to where it was the first year. Because we're talking about doing some pretty interesting things that build on what was done before. And I appreciate our agreement to sponsor again and to do stuff. So, and the other comment I'd like to make, since I don't get to make any other comments during the rest of the meeting necessarily, is a very heartfelt thank you to staff and my fellow commissioners for not only your gestures of caring now, but how consistent your support has been over the last couple of months. And I don't cry in public, so that's all I'm going to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Excellent. Item that
Jerry died Friday.
Yeah, you maybe didn't.
I thought I sent you a text saying that.
Yeah. Well, he'll be missed. That's for sure.
Yeah. I bet I'll miss him more than you will.
I bet you will.
I think that's how that works.
He was a wonderful guy. Well, the only thing I'm really going to report is it was excellent, I thought, to go to that first meeting of the Kingston, or sorry, Kitsap Regional Coordinating Council.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
On February 4th, and that I felt they were genuinely very welcoming to us to join the group. I've heard very good things from bumping into county commissioners when I'm at my regular day job, and each one of them have agreed to me, say in the elevator, things like that, and said, you're just a really valuable member in that committee, and they felt like it was going to be very beneficial for everyone that the Port of Kingston is now a voting and active member of that group. So
there'll
be more to that. Yeah, yes.
I am so happy that we're doing this. The opportunity to, I mean, we all have personal relationships, but to play in the pond is how you start the conversations and exchange whatever you need to exchange to make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So on that level, it's really important. It's also really important because I think that they're all finally getting it, that Kingston is the hub, transportation-wise.
The hub, yes.
And that the Olympic Peninsula, et cetera, et cetera. We all know that routine. But I think that our coverage that we're working out to make sure that the major policy committees we're part of.
Yes.
And the board.
Can you say what those are?
Yes, there is the board itself. And I'm the designated representative, and Steve is the alternate. Mm-hmm. And they take alternates very seriously.
Yeah.
But what we're planning to do is for all of us to go regularly so that we are constantly building our understanding of the whole environment. The second policy committee is the TransPol, which is all of the jurisdictions who are members of the regional council, plus anyone else that seems important. So like the DOT, WSF, they're all part of that, as well as all the local jurisdictions. And that is really the group that not only has conversation about what's really happening in transportation, what are the key issues, but they are also very project focused, and which not only has a huge how do we spend federal dollars that are available, you know, what do we apply for through the Puget Sound Regional Council, I know you're aware of those things. That's the only way we get to the table, is if we're in that conversation. And so that's one thing that TransPol does. But the other thing they do is, as they're working through what should we spend money on, they're also working through what matters. What do we think matters to fix? And again, that's a conversation we need to be part of. And the Puget Sound Regional Council has recently designated a whole new classification of communities, which are basically the transportation hubs for the whole area.
Hubs.
And they're saying these are really important. We're one of the, I think we're the only one that's not incorporated.
Right, yes.
So that kind of supports the incorporated
thing. And the Port of Bremerton is a member of the group as well.
Process, Jimmy.
Yeah.
On the KRCC, how did that come about? I mean, I think people have been questioning that for years. How did that happen? Did you just?
I had some pretty intensive conversations with the county commissioner, the mayor of Port Orchard, of Paulsbow, and the mayor of Bainbridge, and especially the mayor of Paulsbow really pushed for it. And because she's very interested in making sure that North Kitsap gets enough money to solve the problems that she sees ahead for us all.
in terms of growth and transportation stuff. So she's been a, Becky Erickson has been a champion of our being a member for, well, since the conversation started.
Mm-hmm.
And well, she really got hot on it when they added that whole new category of transit areas, mm-hmm. and realized that if Kingston weren't a part of it, you would end up with other people making decisions for Kingston when we need to be making them for ourselves. And so that's been, that was kind of the genesis. There was a lot of conversation about it, and I think it's nice to know those people and be able to have those conversations. The third committee that we'll be involved with at a policy level is a new, relatively new committee, which is called the Planning Policy Committee.
Yeah.
And Steve is going to be the
rep on that.
The rep on that, and I'll be the alternate. And again, we'll play the making sure we're all learning everything we need to, so that as time shifts, people are ready. And the TransPol will be set up with me as the rep and Laura as the alternate. And I think that our long experience with the KRCC, you may not know this, we basically ran the regional council on a management services contract for 20 plus years. And
I worked during
that time. And so we get it, right? You know? And the people that are now running the organization, you know, doing the management of it, have been extraordinarily complimentary about all the work that we put in to leave not only lots of organized files, but what they need. They said every time they go back now and touch anything, they can see the history enough to figure, because it's very complex dealing with the county, four cities, two tribes, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's a very complex set of relationships and priorities. So, yeah. So it's kind of fun and weird to be there at the same time and to be at, on the other side of the table.
Yes, so, right. I can imagine.
It's good to be at the table.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And, I think this is the right moment for a lot of reasons for it to have happened. So.
How come that's not in the papers, or is it?
Has it been in the papers?
No, why is it not? I mean, that's a big deal.
It seems that only when there's controversy in the court do we get in the papers.
Yeah.
We have had no controversy.
Well, then again, we need our own paper.
Yeah.
But that would be, like you said, something that if we are able to do an article or a paper or whatever we choose to do, that's one of the highlights that we could put in there, that we are now at the table for KRCC. So that's,
I think it comes back around, like even a year ago in the Kingston conversation, that was one of the key things, was they said it's really difficult that there's no centralized area for dissemination information.
Right. Yeah.
And they said, so that's why when I was talking to me and Kate about they were going to do a website and for the chamber to upgrade everything. I said, well, we can do another one, but we'll parallel it for all organizations so it creates a hub, because then you roll it into all the search engine optimization and queries and all this kind of thing. So, but there's one place where people can go in with plugins. So, and then the port will, you know, we're going to develop more of an outward customer-facing website as well. The one we have is mobile-oriented towards compliance, regulatory compliance, and just having access to information that people may want, but it doesn't really tell a story, right? And it doesn't really go out and reach out and get people to engage. So that's, we're going to move that forward. But how do you communicate? People want different communications, but we're working forward on that.
So your websites are one way. It's from you out to the public, and what we need is the public to have an input, the letters.
And we talked about survey, you know, doing something where we can reach out. And so, but a lot of people still want, honestly, hard copy. That's how they're used to getting. So we have to do multiple approaches. approaches, I think.
But it wouldn't take too many hard copies, a couple months of that, and then a shift over to a website.
Mm-hmm.
I can look up the North Carolina, the Kitsap Herald,
mm-hmm.
and the community on the website, and I just soon do that. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give some thought to coming up with something that's very controversial so we get a lot of people in here.
Oh, hey, Ron, thank you.
That's great.
Oh, Ron. Take me a while.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good to hear. Any other commissioner item? We'll go on to staff reports then. Who wants to start that? Wendy?
Oh, I was thinking Greg was going to go first.
Oh, ladies first.
Oh, that's not me. you know, it's been pretty quiet. I don't really have too much to say, although I am starting to work on our annual report that will be due May 29th, maybe. So, and interestingly enough, I can't believe you brought this up, but I have been, probably no one's noticed, why would they? But I've been renumbering our chart of accounts to line up with the bars manual. So,
oh, good. Yeah, very good. Right.
So trying to tidy everything up and, you know, make it look pretty. So yeah.
Excellent. Thank you.
Sorry, that's as good, is as exciting as it gets for me.
same here. I've been cross training a little bit with Wendy on payroll, and we got the controller position posted and we're recruiting for that, unfortunately. And then as far as the concerts go, I worked on getting a new contract, like a professional service agreement for the bands, because the chamber did that last year, so mm-hmm. we've got one going.
So we're doing the concerts on the Cove?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll get those contracts out to them hopefully by Friday. And then sponsor agreements, we've been having Greg and look over those, and then just getting our calendars updated. And then our lunch with Greg went, we had someone come, and I think it went really good. So
you had two people, right?
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
We had Mr. Ron Karsmar, and we had, the gentleman actually didn't know, which is, it's very interesting. He's actually lives in the Port of Eglon. But he showed up. He wanted to learn about ports generally. He just retired from the Navy. He was a 35-year veteran, Master Chief.
Master Chief, yeah.
And even within
Master
Chief,
big deal.
He was highly regarded, I think. His last posting, which he was looking at mustering out a couple of times, and the last posting was he was assistant to the Supreme Commander of the NATO forces in Europe. So as Master Chief, you know, I don't think he'd get any higher than that. But he was really interesting. He moved over here in 2012, and he said he was going to retire here, but he's only 53. So he's looking really, what is he going to do for, you know, he wants to work. And so he was learning about ports and came to visit the Port of Kingston. It was pretty neat, and he thought he lived in the Port District. But he was interested to know that he does live in the Port of Eglon, mm-hmm. and learn that. But also just about ports, because there's a large area that's not covered by any port district, which I think is a real loss. Well, of course, I'm a fan of port districts, but I'm a real fan of port districts. Ports are just incredibly valuable. So if you're not in a port district, I prefer to be in a port. I'd want to create a port district, no matter where it was, inland or otherwise. But anyway, so he was really great. He was a Navy chief. And so hopefully we'll get some more people showing to some of those. I think they're going to be neat. We'll come up with some. I think we do have to spur some, you know, we'll create topics. Mm-hmm. And then you can put any out really important topics that people need to ask. And I'm not trying to be, I don't want to know if I want to be provocative. because I don't want anybody getting upset. But I do think that people need to be informed. And then I think they might realize better that they're actually getting a lot of value. I think sometimes that's, I hate to do shameless self-promoter kind of a mindset, which is, you know, kind of, but if you don't explain and articulate the value, just like when we talk about the marina rates, right, and we had people that were unhappy, by the end of that, Most of them said, now I really totally understand.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like we're getting a good value. And in fact, I think one gentleman, he turned around 180 degrees. Mm-hmm. So I think it is good to inform people. I don't have, I think it's, I like having information personally. It's when you don't have information, then you create your own story, is what I tend to.
Yeah.
So, and speaking of rates, so we had staff just, they're pretty close to finish. We're getting not all the information, but most everybody has responded. So we updated the marina rate study that we based our recommendations for last year on. Only we're pretty close to complete with it now. And so we're going to publish that. And we just open source it, which I think is kind of surprising, I think, to a lot of people. But I think it's okay, because then all of the, everybody who's a customer can challenge it, and they can duplicate it, they can audit it themselves. And then it also gives them some empirical basis for data that's been normalized, so they can relate it to other, and then they might have a perception of what other ports do for, and marinas do for value, but I think it creates a dialogue. And then it goes, and it segues right into what our recommendations will be for next year, by the time we get there for this year, so you'll have good information. And that was Faith Reese headed up most of that effort and with under Ray's guidance, so that was pretty cool. We have the Sail Kingston Cove Regatta.
Saturday. Yeah.
So it's like 8 to 4 o'clock, and there's actually four clubs that are like high school clubs are going to be sailing out there. And then Ray Carpenter, our harbor master, he secured U.S. Coast Guard's bringing 45-foot cutter in that people can tour, and then they'll keep an eye on things, I think, too, obviously. And we hope the weather's good and safe for the sailors, but it's really pretty cool. So, and hats off to, whether it be Jared Kirshner or Rita and Butch, and whether they're the executive, I guess, group for the Sail Kingston Cove.
Eight to four. Group.
So that's pretty cool. So that's Saturday, February 29th, leap year. And then also we have on Saturday, March 7th, there's the Hidden Gems, which is the recognition of people that have done a lot of volunteer work within the Kingston area. And that's going to be over at Whitehorse Golf Club. And we're sponsoring two tables. And we hope that people will come out and celebrate the people that have really given a lot of time and effort to the community and recognize that.
That's next Saturday.
Yep.
That's the following, yeah.
The 6th, because it's the
7th. 7th.
I think it's March 7th.
7th.
It's March
7th. Thank you.
At Whitehorse. And it's on the website for the chamber as well as on ours. You can just buy tickets right online right there. And so it'll be nice. It's
I think you can get tickets at the flower shop and
Mickey's
and maybe I can't remember where else.
It's an event that they promote as that once you pay for your ticket, they're not going to ask you for any more money for the rest of the time. There will be no raise the paddle. There will be no auction. This is just to honor people and have a meal.
So that's good. And I want to thank Wendy, so we have these events and we put out for some sponsorships. Last year, we had quite a number of companies sponsor these events in conjunction with the chamber. And we are actually co-sponsoring it with the chamber, even though it's just roles and responsibilities have shifted a little bit. And then one of the things that came up was, okay, Ray's reaching out to some of the people that have sponsored in the past. We put a banner up. And so we have a kind of a gold, silver, bronze sponsorship, and Tara put together a kind of a flyer for that, just so they know exactly what they're getting.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's real clear, and we're gonna post that. But we did, Wendy went out, reached out to Paula Weisinger from State Farm, and Paula has her own business, really, and she represents State Farm. She's been fantastic to work with. And so she's gonna be the gold sponsor for $7,500 for the to start off everything, and then we'll get some other sponsorships from them. And basically, I think the more money we get, basically we can afford to book more bands and do more things and keep extending it. We're going to try to really go from Memorial Day to Labor Day, and then we're going to try to fill that all in. And that's usually pretty typical of peak season for events that are outdoors where you'll get decent weather. But I want to thank Wendy for that. And I want to thank Wendy actually for a bunch of things. And, you know, she helped us transition when we were struggling a little bit. And I think it's nice when you have somebody you can reach out to and you know you can depend upon them. They show up every day and they're there for you and they just handle things. It gives you peace of mind that otherwise, you know, it'd be pretty painful. And she helped us so not only the transition but with the accruals and transitioning from bars to GAAP. And thanks also to Larry and your team with transitioning everything and giving us the support we need to, because that was pretty neat. And I know you guys have known each other for a long time and worked together, and that just those kind of relationships also was just like you have that trust. Also, Wendy, you know, got us through the state audit, which is usually, well, it's not, I don't want to characterize it any which way. It's just the state audit, you know. But it went really well, and I think that was due large part to Wendy as an individual person. So thanks you. Thank you so much, Wendy, for all the stuff you're doing, continue to do, and really appreciate it. KPUD is currently, they're replacing the water line, so there's an 8-inch and a 6-inch water line. They're going right down Washington Boulevard, and that's really critical infrastructure for us for development, and also to preserve, like Kingston, you have to have utilities, and you have to know that they're robust, and KPUD knew that Washington Boulevard, I mean, the Kitsap County was going into Washington Boulevard to do the complete, not to do complete streets, but to do that, the upgrade, but which is in line with the complete streets concept, which they're incorporating a big portion of this complete streets program, the study that was done. It's amended, but they're incorporating that and adopting it as part of the Kitsap County Comprehensive Plan. So it's a pretty critical document to know what that entails. But when the Kitsap County was going into to upgrade Washington Boulevard, KPUD was very responsive and said, okay, if you're tearing it up, we're gonna put this water line in now, and because it just makes sense. But they had a really nice hustle. They've been great to work with. I just wanna recognize Bill Whiteley and Todd Smith from KPUD, and also then Tim Beachy and the team over at Kitsap County, I'm working at Washington Boulevard. I think they're up and going right now. So it's we'll see what I think is gonna be a good result, I hope, when we're done with it. But it'll be nice to have it upgraded. We're moving forward on marina surveys. I got issued an actual contract to Mott McDonald to process that data, but it's ready to pull the trigger on that. I just have to send them over the formal approval. RCO, which is the Washington Recreation Conservation Office, they have a deadline where you have to at least get a placeholder in by March 1st to apply for any grants. And they have any number of different programs that you can apply under, but we have to put a placeholder in for March 1st. We did hopefully all the legwork when we did the comprehensive plan for the port along with the capital plan at the end of last year. So that's been adopted. So we're working with RCO, and Kim Sellers is our grant manager for this area. She is fantastic to work with too. There's a lot of really great people to work with. So we're working with her on that, and then May 1st is the actual deadline for a big chunk of the money to submit for that. And so we're looking at our capital plan. You can't submit for every project in your capital plan, so you do have to pick and choose. So we're looking at what would make the most sense for us and for RCO, what do we really want to put forward. But we're working with Mark Horton, who's our contracted port engineer. He's been invaluable. And then on Lindbach, so we're moving forward on the SR 104 ferry holding lot feasibility study. It's a mouthful, sort of a pre-design effort, basically, for the property that WashDOT owns at off of 104 in Lindbach on the northwest corner. And so we're moving forward with Petit, and we're working through all the due diligence and from critical areas analysis and trying to put numbers to that so that we have at least a rough order of magnitude. I don't know if we'll get to a 30%, but even a 10%, you can put a placeholder in that then goes in and hopefully gets rolled into the larger effort that Commissioner McClure and all three commissioners, Commissioner Heacock and and Commissioner Grunwald are all working on the KRCC as well to go into a transportation strategy for Kingston. And that goes, that works in conjunction with hopefully SR 104 realignment. And that is where WashDOT is putting up most of their effort. But this, that is supposed to work really in conjunction, I think, conceptually with very holding live up on Lindon. Yes.
The PSRC has opened up this grant for transportation. Mm-hmm. I sent you, where you probably know. Are we going to get in on that, or is that applicable?
I will direct that to the commissioners that are on the board now.
PSRC.
Yes, right. PSRC.
Yeah.
Not the KRC.
Yeah.
Oh, no, but PSRC basically funnels the money down through the four member counties. And so are you talking about the BUILD program?
BUILD, I think.
On
right.
The transportation, they sent out an email.
Yeah, there's an acronym project called BUILD, B-U-I-L-D, and I believe that's what that was. It was specific federal program from the U.S. Department of Transportation. And so there was earmarked money that could go to the state. Each state can have a certain portion of an allocation, not to exceed $100 million per state or something. So,
one question that we have to determine is whether or not any projects that you put forward for funding are required to be on the county's transportation improvement plan. Oh. If that's the case, then the ones that are on the county's TIP are the complete streets and the realignment. But we don't know whether or not it'd be possible to get funding potentially for the Lindbaugh, whatever happens at Lindbaugh. But we're working on all of that to figure out what's possible.
I would have to go back and look and see why I got that notice.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple of, there's different notices. There's the federal level for funding, there's state level, and then, and then there's the county, and then there's organizations that come up with recommendations and how it is, and then whether it's localized money or whether it's shared pool of money that for which way, which bucket it comes out. Mm-hmm.
It looked to me like I could even make a request. I don't know. It's just a notice came from the clouds.
There was a, and maybe it's still, I'm trying to think of the there were informational call-ins that you could do per date, and I think there's one that's coming up in March, early March.
Yep.
I think so. We actually talked about that at our last work study. Do I have that note here?
This past week.
There's different categories of funding, and there's a tribal, rural, and then I believe then there was other, So it looked like it was kind of interesting because it did seem to be more of a rural focus that they were doing with that particular funding. So
there's a whole question about whether or not we qualify for federal rural designation that we did for a while and then we didn't anymore.
Yeah, so. Right. We're looking into it.
My fingers crossed and just don't tell the feds that some genius around here came up with the sanctuary for Kingston.
Oh, right, yeah. Any other staff report items? Is that?
I think that was an interrigged carpet committee here, but he mainly and especially just wanted to push on the SKC to make sure that South Kingston Cove for GATA was and just put out.
One thing I forgot to mention is that I did attend the 4th of July committee. For the port. So there was some outreach that hadn't closed the entire loop in relation to activities that will be going on at the port on that day. So that group was trying to figure out exactly who was going to be there at what time, and there was a calendar share thing that they were talking about. So we'll do some further debriefing on that.
Yeah, very much.
Like it was that. Good though. Yeah. Okay. Well, we've got our next regular meeting on March 25th. Is that right? It's going to be here, 6:30. No, I think it should be 1 o'clock. Right. 1 o'clock here at the Village Green. As everyone, what we're trying to do is alternate evening meetings, daytime meetings. So we get a varied audience. We appreciate your participation.
So the next one's not 6:30, it's 1 to 3.
Yeah, 1 o'clock, right, on the 25th. And any other items?
Well, I did want to comment that the May meeting, we have our commission meeting on the 27th. Is that, and that's an afternoon? At any rate, that backs right up to the Transpol meeting.
Oh, right.
And so maybe we want to try to think in terms of 1 to 2:30 instead of 1 to 3.
Oh, okay, yeah. We can tighten that meeting so you can get to that, yeah.
There's another conflict. I think it's in July where it's a WPPA commission.
Oh, the conference?
It's on the same day as, I think it's the July meeting. So I wanted to, you guys might want to look at that, too.
I don't think we'll be, we don't want to have a meeting during the conference.
When is that?
Can we go back to the May one? You said the Transpol, they're on two different days. The Port Commission's on the 27th and the Transpol on the 28th.
Isn't that lovely? Okay, forget me.
Oh, yeah, that's May 28th. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you said July? The July regular?
It's June or July.
Regular meeting? I don't think we have a WPPA
the spring meeting
conference
is
the. Oh, here it is, yes. WPPA Commissioner Seminar at Marcus Whitman in July goes through the 22nd, and then July 22nd, that evening, we have a port regular meeting.
That's probably not gonna.
So we could maybe adjust that back to maybe the following week, huh?
Okay. I'll do that.
It is an evening commission meeting, yes. So if we did the following week, that'd be the 29th. Is that right? Is my math right on that? Yeah. July 29th.
Yeah, 29th.
Okay, but if you look at June 24th, that also shows as an evening meeting.
We should look at those, just make sure those times are right.
Yeah.
So here's that one, 1 to 3. Yeah, this one says 6:30 to 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
So that's right. And then July at 6:30 to 8:30.
Okay.
So that would be, it'd be 1
so
to
we'll
3.
July 29th from 1 to 3.
Yeah, right.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, we're at.
Ready for a motion?
I'm ready for a motion.
I make a motion to adjourn the meeting at 8:10.
Excellent. Any seconds on that? Fantastic. All in favor?
Aye.
Excellent. Meeting adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Chris, just
I'll press the button.